Morning, Erie. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday. Little Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood here for the doctor that makes us feel good. We welcome back from the Community Health Net, Dr. Tony Snow. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Barry. Thank you for that intro.
I think they're singing about a different kind of Dr. Feelgood out there. Anyway, glad to have you with us. Dr.
Well,
Snow, of course,
you.
From Community Health Net. You can also see him on Saturday mornings with his lovely wife, Kathy Iorio, and a whole cast of thousands to entertain and inform you with their Saturday morning show on Fox 66, Wellsville.
Oh, thank you for saying that, Barry. We are absolutely delighted. I'm happy to say that GE Transportation is going to be sponsoring us for another season and will soon be starting to film our fourth season.
Wow. You're getting right up there.
We are delighted.
Pretty soon you'll be in syndication.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
That would be wonderful.
Well, you know what, Barry? It's really great to be able to bring helpful messages to the families. We have a lot of fun meeting folks throughout our area as we do the filming. So we're very much enjoying it.
One of the things we're doing this year here with Dr. Snow's segment is we're taking calls if you have a question of a medical or health-related issue. Don't ask him what he thinks about no postal service on Saturday or anything, but if it's of a medical or health-related issue, Dr. Snow can answer it at 451-1400, Verizon Wireless customers #414 about what's on your mind this morning, Dr. Snow.
Well, thank you, Barry, for saying that. Last time I was here, one of the nice callers had questions about the use of aspirin and its effect or its possibly contributing to age-related macular degeneration.
Yes.
And we talked briefly. I had not seen the studies, so since that period of time, I did some research and look up exactly what they were referring to. It seems there was an Australian study that took place. They reported on it in 2012. And they followed about 2,000 individuals. They asked them a lot of questions in their study. Lifestyle questions, health-related questions, medicine questions. And they found those that used aspirin regularly, they defined that as once a week as regular use.
Wow.
Then they followed those. Many kind of fell off, like half of them or so, but they followed them over 15 years. When they looked back, they noticed of the group, which was a small group, but the people who used aspirin regularly by their definition, they saw about a 1 in 20 of those folks seemed to have macular degeneration. Of the crowd that did not use aspirin on a regular basis by their definition, it was about 1 in 40. So that's why they said, oh, there's about twice the risk of macular degeneration in those who use aspirin. Well, some other things, as I was looking at this, went on to say, well, I wonder, why is that? How can that be? And it seems that there's a subgroup of individuals who have a gene that tends to not turn off our complement, it's called, complement system, and that's involved in immunity. Those individuals now have a gene that makes their complement system kind of revved up. Well, aspirin can also rev up the complement system. So they were kind of theorizing that in those individuals who have that gene anyway, if they have regular aspirin use, it may make it manifest more. Now, that's only a small subgroup of people, and that's only a guess as to how valid this is, because as the study has evolved, and when you follow people for 15 years, there's a lot of other variables. Are people who take aspirin regularly more health conscious, and are there other factors contributing? Are people who take aspirin regularly having other health issues, and are the other health issues making them more likely to have macular degeneration in this case? So there were some variables. There were also contradictory studies, just so the listener would know, all the studies did not come to the same conclusion.
Because there are so many of us that are on aspirin therapy. I take one every day.
I do every single day, Barry. I use it as antiplatelet. It's good for our hearts. It's good for after stroke. Many people take aspirin as an anti-inflammatory pain reliever. So there, the message to our viewer, do not stop their aspirin that they are on under medical supervision. Talk to the medical provider. But there's extremely small chance of it even being related. And I wouldn't change anything. The recommendations are out there not to stop aspirin because of that.
And macular degeneration is just you're going blind.
Oh, yes, Barry. Macular degeneration is, and it's often abbreviated AMD for age-related macular degeneration. You're quite right, Barry. It affects our ability to see with blind spots, at least, or dull spots of vision, because it affects the retina of our eye. And the retina of the eye is the photosensitive area where the nerve impulses actually transmit the light. When we have anything on the retina, it interferes with our vision. Macular degeneration is something that occurs, and we really don't know why, but we know a couple of things. It's called age-related because age has something to do with it, particularly after the age of 65 and 70. We also know that it seems to be associated with cigarette smoking. That relationship has been established. But other than that, we are not sure why it develops. There's two kinds. There's one they call dry and one they call wet. The wet kind is the kind that the study with aspirin was talking about. And it's not the most common. It's about 10 or 15% of macular degeneration. However, it has the largest percent of those that really go on to cause vision problems. And that's the kind that's caused by a proliferation of blood vessels on the back of the retina. And they get in the way, they interfere with the oxygen to the retina and cause scar tissue to form. That scar tissue then leads to blind spots.
Okay.
Now, also, I wanted to let our listeners know.
Well, before you do, we've got somebody online there. Let's see if this is a question for Dr. Snow. And again, if you have a question of a medical nature for Dr. Snow, 451-1400 is the number. Good morning. Do you have a question for Dr. Snow?
Yes. Good morning, Barry. Dr. Snow.
Good morning.
Got a mother of a headache.
Uh-oh.
What is the difference between a sinus, migraine, and a regular headache?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Headaches are something that are so common, but there's something that we have to pay a lot of attention to. And you're right. There's various kinds of headaches. There's the headache we all get. They might call it tension. They might call it muscle contraction. It's usually a headache that's on both sides of our head. We visualize that there's a vice on both sides of our head, or that we're wearing a hat band that is much too tight, and it's squeezing our head, and we almost feel like if somebody, and we often do it ourselves, massages our temples, oh man, that feels better, because those temporalis muscles get so tight. That's the muscle contention, a muscle tension headache we frequently describe. It's usually on both sides of our head. The sinus headache, which we call a sinus headache, it's thought of to be pressure in the sinuses, often associated with allergies or cold, where our sinuses are located in the middle of our forehead, kind of over this, both eyebrows. There's one on each side of the middle, on our cheeks, and also there's sinuses deeper in our skull. But those ones on the cheek and forehead is often where we get that pressure when we have a cold. And we feel a headache. It's often even sore to touch. When that happens with our headache, it might be a sinusitis, an infection which needs to be stressed and needs to be addressed. And then we need even antibiotics to help us if we have a sinus infection. But the other headache, when you said you had the mother of all headaches, that can be a caution. And if you're experiencing the worst headache you've ever had in your life, it's just, you've never felt anything like it, a spike being driven in your head. That is an emergency that requires a person should go immediately to the hospital and be evaluated, because although headaches are very, very, very common and have a lot of causes, there can be some very serious things that cause really bad headaches, like bleeding and stroke-related illnesses that can do that, and it needs to be treated very urgently.
Then what is a migraine?
A migraine headache. Thank you. I didn't want to forget that because that's so common. And I didn't mean to use that word because there's a migraine called a common headache and a migraine called other migraines. But what I'm talking about when we say migraine is a vascular headache. It's a whole family of headaches that are caused by the vessels dilating in the brain, causing a very severe headache when they do that. Classically, it is throbbing, like our heart is now located in our head, and it is boom, boom, boom. Just like our pulse, it is frequently a one-sided headache. It frequently causes vomiting or nauseated feeling associated with this headache. Often, if we can get to sleep with a migraine headache, you'll wake up, it'll be gone. Oftentimes, sleep, yeah, that's where you get in the dark room, you lay down, you put the cool cloth on your forehead. If you can get to sleep, it goes away. We have medicines that help with migraine headaches, and they show tendencies to be in families. We have different cues that let us know, and there's a different subclass of migraine headaches that have an aura. An A-U-R-A, an aura associated with it. And what that is there'll be a neurological symptom before the headache occurs. You might have an odor sensation. You might see spots. You may get your balance off.
You get a warning.
Get a warning. And then sure enough, that warning comes. Uh-oh, there's that headache follows it. The medicines we have that are most effective for migraines, if we take them at the time of that aura, the time of the warning, it helps to slow, cut down the severity and length of the bad headache that may follow it.
Are migraines hereditary?
They show a family predisposition, Barry. You're quite right. A familial tendency is there. If my parents or siblings have migraines, I'll be more likely. It's not 100% like all those things in the family, but you are increasingly likely to have them.
Because they are debilitating.
If you know
anyone that has them or suffers from them.
Barry, they truly are. They have a tendency to be more female than male. For migraines, there's a variant headache called a cluster headache. Cluster headaches tend to be more male than female, and there are debilitating headaches. Cluster headaches can be debilitating also. They're called cluster headaches because you may get them, you have to call in sick for work, you're almost bedridden, 4 or 5 days, 10 days, then they seem to be gone. They're gone for months. Then they come back with a vengeance, and they come back in these clusters, and that's why they call those cluster headaches. They are not just one-sided or throbbing, but they're very, very incapacitating.
We are talking with Dr. Tony Snow from Community Health Net. Again, if you have a question of a medical nature, 451-1400 is the number. Verizon Wireless customers, #414-1400. Back to the phones we go, and good morning. You're on Jet Radio 1400 with Dr. Snow.
I just want to remind Dr. Snow he left out one other category of headaches.
Oh, yes, sir.
All children and relatives.
You know, when I was little, I think my parents would be right up there saluting that flag for me.
Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you for calling.
Anywho, you had one other subject you wanted to
talk about. Well, I just wanted to remind our listeners, we saw so much recently on hand washing and the sanitizers. Diane Sawyer had something, and I saw other things. Just a reminder, folks, hand washing, I'm talking basic soap and water, is still wonderful at helping us keep down not only the viruses, we usually talk about it in the flu season, but bacteria as well. Washing hands. So if the facilities are available for soap and water, that old 20-second rule does apply. The old ABCs,
yeah, say
twice,
the alphabet. You're supposed to
birthday
say the alphabet.
Twice. You know, get that 20 seconds in. Whether you're using sanitizer, it still works. And on the sanitizer world, you put enough sanitizer on that it dries in about 15 to 20 seconds.
Okay, back to the phones we go. And good morning. You're on Jet Radio 1400 with Dr. Tony Snow.
Good morning, Barry. Good morning, Dr. Snow.
Top of the morning to you.
I've been diagnosed with dry macular degeneration.
Yes, sir.
And I understand the spots. Didn't understand them initially. But my question is there an operation that would correct that? And or are they doing any research on it currently?
All right, I'll let you take the answer off the air, so listen to your radio.
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, sir, they are. There's several different kinds of treatment. You want to definitely be with the eye care specialist. An eye care specialist will follow you. They evaluate. They do the dilated exam to look at your retina. And there's many different treatments that they will do depending on your particular case, how your eyes are doing. Not surgery off the start, but depending on what's going on. And please, it is very important that
what
you
are some
do
of the
work
treatments
with your
that
eye
they
care.
Do?
They do everything from looking at laser treatments to some people use steroidal treatments, some injections. There's just a bunch of things. When we do that, that's because it's a very variable presentation and the illness. But you definitely want to be under the eye care, an eye care specialist, because they need to track it. They need to follow how your retina is doing, how the vessels of the back of your eye are, what they are doing, and then they'll be able to make recommendations to you to try to help it. And it does cause visual differences and defects in your vision, but they are very variable, not always leading to like a complete vision loss.
But you can't really stop it. You can just slow it down, right?
Slow it down, to my knowledge, or try to slow it down. And even that's not just a given, but that's what we try to do, Barry. We try to stop it from proliferating.
All right. For those people that aren't familiar with Community Health Net, give them a quick tour.
Yes, we are a federally qualified healthcare facility located at 1202 State Street. In our main medical office, we also have an office at 4401 Iroquois Avenue, and we have four dental sites. We are primary care, multi-specialty group. Everybody is welcome. If you're having any financial trouble or any difficulties in no payer, you are still welcome. We slide our fee. We try to make it available so that everyone can get the healthcare they deserve.
Absolutely. You'll be with us next Thursday?
Barry, I will be away for a while because I have a conflict of a conference.
Okay. How long away?
I think it's because it was going to be every other week, and I have a conflict a week between, so it may be 4 weeks before I'm back.
Oh, my. Well, you're all on your own then. But,
and thank the callers for calling in.
All right. Well, just keep me posted as to what day you will be returning on.
I sure will.
All right. Thank you. 8:57, 3 minutes in front of 9. We're back to wrap things up, get you off on your Thursday. I'm Barry Dane Steinhagen, and this is Jet Radio 1400.
It's Chevy Truck Month. Right now, get amazing pricing on a brand-new 2013.